Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. Welcome back to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. JB here. As you may have guessed, we maybe talked a little bit longer than we originally intended to on this week's podcast. So we have split it into two. One for your way to work, if you have an hour's commute, that's perfect. And one for your way back from work, because of course you've got an hour's commute. So here is the second hour of this week's Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Hope you enjoy it.
Ed, so red card.
I used to think it was just appealing to mothers. Like, oh yeah, you know, mothers will be up in arms. Like, they are in the NFL, to be fair. It's like, they won't let their kids play because it's too dangerous. And young Blake has to go and play soccer on a Saturday now, right? I actually think it's not for that reason. I think the reason that they're so pedantic with, not pedantic, but the way they enforce the laws in rugby is to give coaches certainty. Because there was nothing more annoying than, say, Joe Mauler doing that, doing what he did. Ten times and getting sent off six, but getting away with it four. We now know he's going to get sent off 10 out of 10 times for doing that. So don't do it. Yeah. I think that's why.
Unfortunately, you cannot eliminate contact with the head because we're playing the game of rugby. And yep. Again, going back to what you said, we love the game of rugby, and it's
Joe Mauler could have avoided that for the record.
It's an putting that to one side. It's you can't stop contact with the head. All I'm saying is, and I'm not saying that I don't want it to be as safe as it can be, and I'm not even talking about Haskell or Mahler and that, those incidents. What I'm saying is that the mantra contact with the head is now like, it doesn't matter if it's accidental, because technically speaking, by the letter of the law, Billy Vunipola should have been sent off when he fractured his arm. Contact with the head.
Well, that's where I think you're wrong, actually, because World Rugby, in their new amendments to the law, actually brought in the accidental contact. So they actually give some discretion to the referee. So accidental. So previously you never had any scope to give the referees discretion, whereas now you do. Because there is the accidental contact with the head.
Yeah, you're right.
And did you see the Exeter Montpellier game, which we've not spoke about yet?
Oh, yeah.
But Nigel, that was the game Nigel Owen watched so much rugby. I was trying to work out which game Nigel Owen was reffing.
Oh, what a sacrifice you made, Phil.
In that game, I can't remember who it was. Someone slipped. They fell into a player's arm. There was no force, but they made contact with the head. And Nigel's words were,
"It's
accidental, no force. Play on."
Nigel was the referee. There you go. A referee with true empathy and who understands the bigger picture.
And understands what World Rugby are trying to do with the laws.
Yeah.
Because I am very positive about most of the World Rugby law changes that they've brought in.
I think
the right referees, and Nigel Owens and Wayne Barnes are the best two examples I have. They both do make mistakes, but generally they play in the right spirit of the game and they administer them correctly.
Yeah, all right. I'm willing to go with that. I don't want to be like a stuck record, so we'll move on. Let's move on to that, Paul.
Yes, because this. So the English clubs have not been doing particularly well. Exeter, their last two games, they'd lost twice to Leinster, although their second performance was outstanding in Dublin when we were there. This was a brilliant Exeter performance.
This really was
sensational against a monstrous and vastly internationally experienced Montpellier team, Montpellier squad.
They're top of the Pro 14. They're top of the top 14, though. Yeah.
Yes, they are.
I mean, how good must Leinster be, really? I mean, that's
Leinster are some team as well. Yeah. They had a very routine victory against a Glasgow squad.
You put out four scrum halves at one point.
They did. They had four scrum halves in their 23. Two of whom were starting, two of whom were on the bench.
Right, it's always good to have that position covered, isn't it?
Well covered.
Is there what other Six Nations squad would Ollie Woodburn not get even in a wider training squad for?
Well, hashtag downfall 2018. This is exactly the sort of stupid decision which is going to cost them. Like, it really is.
I'd put Ollie Woodburn, not just on this, although that second try of his, he had no right to score that. Both of them.
Yeah, both of them were brilliant finishes. From standing, because neither of them were good passes.
No.
The passes he had to check, stop behind him. He's got two defenders and he's against the touchline. Both times gets it down.
Yep.
Not just on that performance, on the season's performance, on probably two seasons' performance, I put him above Solomona.
Yeah. Yeah.
I put him above, who else?
Do it another way. Who do you rate above Woodburn at the moment playing?
May, Watson.
I wouldn't go with Watson, no way.
I still would, based on his form as a winger.
Yeah.
So we only see him as a fullback in the Premiership.
Yeah.
When we see him as a winger, like in the Lions, like in the Six Nations.
We haven't seen Jack Noll, but we know he doesn't play badly, he just hasn't played very much.
It would be a good idea if Eddie maybe gave Rob Baxter a call and said, hey, who do you fancy more at the moment, Noll or Woodburn? Because he knows them inside out. Whether he does this or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I wonder if there's something about Exeter or the way they play or the conditioning or something they do there that he just does not like.
Which is why tries like those, which were, that wasn't on the end of a team move. That was just incredible finishing ability.
Yeah. Get me the ball 10 yards from the line and I'll get it down.
Yeah.
Even if there's two hulking great Montpellier players trying to get me in touch, I'll still get the ball down.
I'll tell you what, when he went up for a ball against, who was it? The huge winger.
Ndolo.
That's when you understand the difference in size of the men. Because there's not a huge difference in height.
Oh, no.
But the difference in frame.
Couple of inches in height, but the door's like double.
You know, the king, is it Xerxes, the king of the Persian army? And the way they portray him in 300, he reminds me of Ndolo.
Oh, is that the guy, hang on, who are you talking about now?
From 300.
From 300, the film.
All right, so
this is Sparta.
Right, so are you talking about like the relatively camp person who was carried in? Because that does look like Woodburn.
It's sort of like in between Woodburn and Ndolo, actually.
Let's look him up. What's his name?
I don't know. Xerxes is the character.
Right, you guys carry on talking.
I only know that from listening to the Hardcore History podcast about the Persian Empire.
Oh, yeah.
The Spartan Empire.
Bad guy. There you go. That's not dissimilar to Ollie Woodburn. I mean, it's not exactly like him, but, you know. It's not a million miles away, is it? We got... there you go.
Yeah. We'll have to... There you go, Ollie Woodburn. That's Halloween 2018 sorted. Get some nose rings.
Yeah, we just dress him up like... There you are. You can actually get the outfit.
JB, tweet that. At J Beardmore. Other important points. So you mentioned the lack of depth at hooker. I thought Mullet-Dickey had a sensational game. He was brilliant. He put some monstrous hits in. And his carrying was exceptional as well. Now, this game... So Exeter were only 7-0 up at half-time. Or was it 7-3 at half-time? I was a little bit worried because they weren't their usual Exeter selves. They got into Montpellier 22 time and time again in that first half and coughed the ball up time and time again. But then second half, they kind of got the unit working, everything slotted into place, and it was just try after try after try after try.
Mm.
It did not look like top of England versus the top of... the French league, the top of the best two leagues in Europe. It looked like the top of the English league versus the top of the Championship in that second half.
Yeah, agreed. Do Exeter just need to go and bonus point Glasgow now? Is it that simple?
Well, you make that sound simple.
Which it isn't.
No.
Because they lost two games. So if Exeter get a bonus point, they will get 19 points.
Yeah.
Bonus point win.
They'll get 19 points. Which should be sufficient to see them through, but there's no guarantees.
No guarantee.
So last season, Toulon qualified in eighth place with only 16 points.
And that happened the year before when Exeter qualified in that crazy every team won three games and lost three games, Paul.
But the problem is, Exeter are the lowest scoring second place team at the moment. So it's right now it's out of their hands.
It's on, yes, you're right. It is on, if it's equal points in terms of pool points, 18, 19, whatever it is, it goes to aggregate score difference.
Yeah, best aggregate points difference from the pool stage.
Yeah.
Then the number of tries scored. So we don't go to wins.
No.
So they must have done pretty well on points scored.
So it's aggregate points scored, tries scored, if equal, the club with the fewest number of players suspended under disciplinary rules.
Uh-oh, James Haskell.
Or if unresolved by drawing lots. So they don't consider wins at all, which seems a bit odd. So they draw. So it's suspended players before wins, well, and lots before wins. Anyway.
Well, maybe, but I suppose that it's, that takes away, yeah. Yeah, but then you've arrived at the kind of, that would almost undermine the fact you've got that many points.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
if you go
the
back
wins.
To wins.
Yeah. Yeah, it's saying that wins are more important than...
Sorry, I'm watching myself.
That is saying that wins are more important than bonus points.
How'd you look, Jay? Country?
sorry, yeah, very... Yeah, overweight.
No.
Yeah.
You're trying to trim down at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, not going well, mate. Not going well at all.
So shall we run through some of the other fixtures?
I'll tell you what, before you do that, because I'm quite aware that we might have given lots of people the idea of going as the Persian...
Ollie Woodburn.
Persian Ollie Woodburn to Halloween. And it is only 10 months away till Halloween. So what are you going to do to get that head and body completely smooth in 10 months' time?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Is there a product that I could use? A service?
What do people normally do to make skin smooth and get rid of hair?
Burn it off.
Cornerstone now have an incredible new range of personal
burning
grooming
tools.
Hair flamethrowers. And also an incredible range of razors who they support our podcast, and we carry on with this because there
it
are still
pays us so well.
Because we're delighted to spread the word, because more and more people get onto Cornerstone every month.
And it makes a huge difference to our back balance.
Because of the podcast. Well, what people have done is taken advantage of a brilliant offer that we can give you, because we were there at the very start with Cornerstone when they were starting. They're now got their own little empire. And so they give us...
As have we.
They give us a great deal that we can pass on to you. So your six razors in a cartridge and your presentation box and your aluminium heavy weighty shaft, none of this plastic nonsense that other similar companies that are trying to copy Cornerstone do. Get your aluminium one engraved with your initials, and how about when I say all that, £4, less than a pint, £4, to give it a go with no obligation, although we think you'll love it. So go get yourself to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
egg10 at checkout. You'll love it. Yeah. No, don't put the "you'll love it" at the end.
No, the code won't work.
Just egg 10. Games, Philip. Games.
So I'll quickly run through some games that we've not mentioned. First of all, did anyone, not just us three, did anyone predict that Northampton Saints would beat Clermont?
No.
Who didn't? Oh,
I just expected a routine beatdown for Northampton.
I think we spent all of 2.5 seconds debating
laughing.
That one last week,
yeah.
As we giggled.
Yeah.
Harry Mallinder's kicking, by the way.
No good to me in the bloody European Cup, though, is it?
And Ben Foden, playing like Ben Foden about 2012.
Yes!
Not 2018.
Yes. Like, that try score.
I know. When Ken Pesey ran inside him and all of the Clermont players just followed him. That was a genuinely remarkable result. That does open that group up a little bit more as well. Next, did you see the Racing Munster game?
No, that was today. I haven't seen that, but Racing did a job, right?
It was a very, very good game. Last 10 minutes, the score was yo-yoing. Interesting venue. Racing 92's new...
Have you seen their stadium?
I love it.
So, JB and I, when we were in Nice...
That was some night as well. I really enjoyed that night.
Yeah, that was good. But I vaguely remember. But we were in this bar and we were watching it. And that was the first night that they played in that stadium, was it? That was... Oh, no. France were playing Japan. in that ground.
Oh, really? No. Jippon.
Jippon, as the, as it was in the commentary, Jippon. But yeah, so it's mad, isn't it?
It looked like an indoor tennis court to me.
It was weird. The side with, I don't know why, but with no seats.
Yeah, it's so just a big screen.
So yeah, it's like the Aviva Stadium in Dublin has the one, because of some old lady that lives there and refused planning permission or whatever it was, or, oh no, you're going to ruin my sunlight. That's why it's glass.
Yep.
And that's why there's hardly any seats. But instead of that, Racing have just gone out and just have one big Jumbotron TV screen.
Yeah.
Do you know what? And there's no seats there. I think it looks really cool.
It was interesting. So Munster went 10-0 down, and all of the Irish pundits were kind of making excuses that Munster aren't used to playing on a plastic pitch.
Stacks up.
So they're making excuse after excuse after excuse. And then Munster started coming back, and then Munster went ahead, and then there was no more excuses about the plastic pitch.
Weird, that, isn't it?
And then when Munster lost, they were blaming the plastic pitch again. Oh, it was weird.
Well, I don't think that's a story from this. I think the real story is that's Simon Zeebo's new employer.
It is Simon Zeebo's new employer.
Have you heard the reported wage?
I am astonished at the reported wage.
I think Zeebo is a fine player.
€700,000. Good player per year?
No.
Zeebo is a very good player. I'm not sure how many back three players in the world are worth that.
He's not.
Is Israel Flau?
No. I honestly don't think. I mean, so this is like the Charles Pietau thing. Is Charles Pietau worth £500,000 a year or whatever he's getting, or £600,000 a year?
You think he's more than that when he goes to Bristol.
Yeah. Or would you rather have Charlie Walker and then spend to get an incredible 10?
Well, I mean.
Or I use Charlie Walker as an example because he won't be a massive coin winger, but he's really good.
He's a great player.
Yeah. Absolutely. Is Pietau worth 600,000? The answer is yes, just not to Bristol.
I'll go with that.
Wonder if, I mean, I just don't. Zeebo just isn't as good as Pietau, I'd say.
Yeah.
In general. And is he the missing piece? Is he the individual to turn Racing from whatever they are now into European champions and top 14 champions? If the answer was yes, I'd be like, give him the cash. Give him more than that. I just don't think he is. The
problem is they've got Johan Usen insurance money, probably.
Ah.
I'm sure there was talk that it was insured. And when he reneged on his contract, they were basically getting it back anyway.
Do we know where he is at the moment? Is he still selling fertiliser? Or
he's a commercial manager of some farming company in South Africa.
Oh my
24.
God, how on earth do you maintain your professional standards doing that? I mean, presumably you'd be training with we'll talk more about Goosen another time.
Yeah, not now. There's too much other things. So Munster played some really nice stuff. It was their indiscipline that cost them in the end. And they went ahead with 5 minutes to go, immediately conceded a penalty. So we're back down, kicked off, immediately turned the ball over, then immediately conceded another penalty. And that was the story of their game, unfortunately. That was their ill discipline when it didn't count. We've already mentioned that Leinster very comfortably 55-19 beat a weakened Glasgow team. It's pretty routine. Toulon comfortably beat your beautiful Benetton.
Yeah,
boys.
I was very surprised at this, actually. I didn't see this one coming.
It was 5-0, 36-0, and they did everything they needed to do.
Yeah, just looking at that, it looks like Benetton did rest a few lads. It clearly wasn't the. it just wasn't a game they needed to win.
Yeah, so are you surprised at that?
I guess they just went a little bit.
So you're surprised when they're already out of the European competition that they've rested a few players.
How many points are Munster on now? Can they still get a home quarter final? Because before this, it was the case that all three Irish provinces were looking good for not even qualifying top of the pool, but potential home quarter finals. But Munster might have spoiled that.
Munster can, but it's out of their hands.
Right.
So they top the group, but they are the lowest points for topping a group on 16.
Yeah.
So it's out of their hands to get a home.
Oh, I don't think they'll get a home quarter final now.
Yeah, it mathematically it's possible, but it's unlikely.
Yeah.
Yeah, just looking at the Treviso team, they did rest one or two, so that'll be it.
So just a couple of things, just while we're on the Irish provinces, just one interesting thing. Did you notice that the Pro 14 television rights are not going to be with Sky next year?
No, I didn't see that.
No, I didn't know that. Why? Where's it?
So Air, is it Air or Air TV in Ireland. Have wrapped up a deal to get the Irish provinces or the three Irish in the Republic provinces matches in the Pro 14.
And then is it going to be BBC Northern Ireland?
Which I'm just going to let people in Ireland know, if you don't already know, that is all. The good news is, if you get the Air TV package to get that Pro 14, BT Sport also comes with that, so you get all the European Cup and Avicii Rugby.
Very nice.
So that's a tidy little package if you're in Ireland. And the Welsh and Scottish and Italian, it's going to be kind of piecemeal. BBC Scotland, I think BBC Wales, S4C. So that being broken up could have an impact. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
That's a disaster.
Well,
no, it is a disaster, because I think the Pro 14, where the money is as a league in itself. So you need to sell all the rights as one. If they start drifting off...
But because the value in Ireland is the Irish games.
Yes, exactly.
The value in Wales is the Welsh games.
Yeah, but
the value in South Africa is the Cheetahs and the King. Well, the Cheetahs games.
Yeah. So the problem is the most valuable teams there are the Irish teams, and the reason they all club together is because they don't have enough people in these countries in order to support those teams, in the same way the Premiership does when it broadcasts to the UK.
Well, all I'm saying is, if they're breaking up, there might be a commercial decision behind it.
Oh,
it's not. This is not necessarily a bad thing for Pro 14.
It's not a bad thing for the Irish teams.
It might not be bad for the overall Pro 14 if they're getting more money in overall. But we don't know that. We don't know that.
The other thing I just want to... Well, a couple of other things. While we're on the Irish provinces at the moment, one concern we said ages ago, we were pretty much... Well, Phil and I were certainly in agreement that we're quite happy and we're glad that World Rugby brought in new laws around residency qualification for national sides. Mm-hmm. One of the fears I think we expressed back when that happened was, I hope this doesn't mean that people just go and try and poach younger players.
Are you talking about the Montpellier Academy?
No, Montpellier have been, yeah, they've been doing it.
They're opening one in South Africa, or have recently opened one in South Africa.
And I was really disappointed to see this. I don't have anything against the player for doing this, because South African rugby's in a real mess. I understand it. But Munster have signed some youngsters, 18 and 19-year-olds, from one of the rugby schools in South Africa, a tight head prop who's incredibly highly rated called Keenan Knox, and a 19-year-old centre, incredibly highly rated, called Matt Moore. I really, really don't like this.
Well, there you go.
It's predatory. I just don't like it.
Well, is it? I mean, I always think about this from two points of view. Fundamentally, I don't think it's good to be moving kids around. You know, different countries, I mean, different hemispheres. I just don't think it's good. And South Africa's a pretty developed country. They can stay there until they've earned their stripes. At a province.
But,
there,
I mean, he's an adult, so he can do what he wants. He's an 18-year-old. He's an adult. But what's the intent? What's the long-term intention of Munster and or the IRFU?
I get it. He's an adult, but 18-year-olds are not adults.
Oh no, I mean, you
shouldn't be allowed to vote until you're 21. So, yeah. On the other hand, you know what's in it for him coming over here? If it is, you know, a real opportunity which you can't get in South Africa, you know, maybe it is the right thing. It's the unintended consequence of this stupid law change that should never have happened. But here we are, and this is what they're going to do. And I just
So I'm reading this, and my concern is Ireland and or the provinces are trying to get Ireland internationals of the future from.
Yeah, that's right.
From countries,
absolutely right.
Where the guys aren't. If that's what's happening, which I'm assuming.
But I mean, that's what Australians.
Horrible.
Australians and New Zealanders have been doing, to the Pacific nations for decades now, I'd guess. Yeah, and also private schools up in the UK will offer a scholarship to a lad who has shown enough potential in Fiji or wherever it is.
We want our Daryl Marfo back.
Yeah.
This is all about Daryl Marfo. Daryl Marfo and Chris Harries.
Yeah, we got our own back with Gary Graham, though.
Yeah.
Ben Vellacott. eventually.
I really, really don't like it, and I'm disturbed by it. Equally, I can totally understand why Michael Rhodes would want to play for England. I really don't, and I wish him all the best as a player. I don't like that the laws exist that mean he could be in England international
I'm not sure
in July.
He is good enough.
Oh no, he's good enough. He's 100% good enough.
He's a very specific type of player, though, and I'm not sure there'd be room for him in England.
I think they're going to pick him in July.
Just to cap him, basically.
No, right? I think they're going to pick him with an intention of taking him to the World Cup. Bearing in mind what we were talking about earlier, Joe Worsley, Lewis Moody, Martin Corrie, who do England have as the backup back row? I don't think it's good enough.
I feel like I want to throw this phone through that light.
Yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't pick... Don Armand. Every week we've got to talk about Don Armand. or Ollie Woodburn.
We've already given him the mandatory 25 minutes this week. So let's move on.
Yeah.
So I think we've covered pretty much all the games, unless anyone else wants to raise any points.
Matthew Bastereau is going to get in trouble for some ill-judged outburst that got caught on ref mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've also got a thing to tell you. Cast have lost the last... Oh, no, they beat them 39-0.
Yeah. I watched a lot of that game. Not particularly pretty from a Leicester point of view.
Get on my whiteboard, write down Matt O'Connor to be binned by the end of the season.
I think that might be a good prediction. I can get on board with that one.
Yep. That's so poor, isn't it? 39. Well,
before we get into our fixtures next week, so we mentioned briefly the Stephen Donald move. We mentioned the Zeebo move. There's another fly half moving. There's two fly halves who've re-signed.
Marcus Smith got signed up on a long-term deal. Reported as £1 million, which... If that's true, £200,000 a year, I can't believe he's on £200,000 now.
So
maybe it's the way the deal's structured.
From what I read, he will finish this season on £30,000, which is his like junior player contract.
What does he need? He's living at home. Yeah. His mum's making his tea.
Here's some lodge mum. Here's £100 a month lodge.
How much are you earning down that club?
It then goes up to a maximum of 230 a year, including bonuses.
Oh, I thought bonuses were in addition to that.
230 plus bonuses.
That's no, it can't be plus bonuses.
I think it is.
I thought it was. This deal was peaking at 230 a year.
They would not. I mean, to be fair, that is market value for a 10. Even if it was just a 10 in a squad, not a frontline 10.
He has proven. He is the starting 10 for Harlequins.
He's class.
He's a Premiership starting.
Oh, I know, 10. I know, he's class. We don't need to debate it. I think those numbers are rubbish. I think it's boring.
I also think age, you're also. So if we know how good he is at 18 and a half or whatever he is, you're kind of paying a premium for potential, because every season he should be getting, like Nick Evans. If you're paying £500,000 a year for Nick Evans when he's 34. There is no potential that he's going to improve next season. If anything, he'll be worse next season than he is now. At 18 to 19 to 20, if it's a 5-year deal, by the time he hits 22, he could be comfortably worth £1 million a season.
Equally, Shane Geraghty, Ryan Lamb, Freddie Burns. There's a number of examples of guys that were mercurial, precocious 18-year-old talents.
This is the real true. This is the real deal, though. Mind you, Ryan Lamb was undoubtedly the real deal at 18. Yeah. Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Geraghty was starting for England.
But Quins, if that's what they're paying, I don't believe that's what they'll be paying next season. But
I think it is.
But if that's what they're paying, they've negotiated so badly, because it should have just been, right, how much is your Xbox Live?
Yeah.
Right, we've got that. We'll give you gold membership for your Xbox. In fact, we'll get you a PS4 and an Xbox.
Have you heard
so you
how
can play live?
Have you heard how fast the Worcester Academy House Wi-Fi is?
Yeah.
We can hook you up.
I'm just saying now. I know we just said about Ryan Lamb. I do believe he is the real deal. I think he's already in maybe the top five Premiership fly halves already. You seem to have moved on from let's not jump the gun to kind of accepting that he's pretty damn good now.
I'm still saying let's not jump the gun, because you don't, using words like great, you know, there are too many cautionary tales. There are too many cautionary tales to start saying that an 18-year-old... Of course, there's a Johnny Wilkinson. They come around very, very rarely.
Well, on my board there, Marcus Smith, the greatest player of a generation. All spelt wrong. There you go.
Oh yeah,
on the Leo Vegas board of destiny.
I sincerely hope you're right, and he undoubtedly has that potential.
For everything I've said there about by the time he's 22 and his 5 years of potential, he could get worse and worse every year.
Yeah.
And he could have two bad knee injuries. And at 22,
I'd like him to have a couple of years as the backup fly half of Quinns.
Just throw him in there. He's in a backup like Tim Sweel.
Look at George North now. He was a guy that was just chucked in there at 18.
That's a really interesting one, right? So let's just think about that.
Because George North, by the time he was 23, was a world beater. But now he's, 26?
Do you think maybe it's just that he started at 18 and now he's 26 and that is your mandatory 8 years at the highest level? And just because we moved it to, say, 22...
He's only 25.
Is that it?
Yeah.
So this is a little thing.
Just because we moved those 8 years a little later on in his life, does that matter?
Maybe you're right. At Rugby Podcast, who was a wonder kid? I'd love to get a list of names that were once called like a wonder kid, superstar of the future. Because
Anthony Allen, 100%.
Freddie Adu.
Freddie. Football Manager fans will enjoy that one. Yes.
Freddie Adu's still only 28.
No, he's not.
Get out of town.
He is.
I think I know where he was playing as well.
Attack midfield, forward, left, centre.
Yeah. he was at
Washington.
He's had a long list of clubs. It's not a good list of clubs.
Wasn't there someone who signed a footballer on the strength of Football Manager?
Oh, there's been a few of them. I'm sure of that.
There was someone who was supposedly George Weah's cousin. Is that Graham Souness signed someone?
George Weah, president of Libya.
Liberia.
Yes, a tough gig being president, being in charge of Libya. Wouldn't want that one.
I'm just trying to think of some more young lads who are going to be world beaters. Here's a stipulation, right? They've got to be world beaters, but they can't have fallen down due to injury. They've got to fall down just due to who they were. So Shane Geraghty is definitely in that category. Ryan Lamb, definitely in that category.
He spent last year. So the comparison between... If back then you'd have said, oh no, in 2017 he'll be third choice fly half at almost relegated Worcester. Yeah, Gavin Henson, that's a good one.
Yeah,
but you can't say Tom Rees.
Yeah, because he
never got to. He never got the opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
someone like Jean-Marc Doucan, who I think he's still at Toulouse, but
what does he do now?
Not a lot, from what I've seen.
Miles Benjamin, can't say him because he would have been a world beater. He would have been the greatest winger in the world.
He was so close. He had it all: the size, the power, the speed,
the rucking.
Yeah. Don't forget the rucking and the tries. Top try scorer one season.
Where we were
prior
to getting slightly distracted.
Although let us know at Rugby Podcast.
That's not where we were.
People who were wonder kids.
No. Where we were was about to discuss the other fly half who's on the move.
Oh, yeah.
Who is... So he's announced that he's moving. He's announced that he's leaving the Highlanders at the end of the 2018 Super Rugby season.
Sopawanga.
Sopawanga. And it is rumoured that he is moving to Wasps.
Good signing.
Great signing.
A 26-year-old All Black. Yeah. That would... That's got to be a concern for New Zealand, doesn't it? Hugely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think they're happy with Barrett for the time being.
Yeah, I know. That's two
Barretts, McKenzie.
But let's just remember,
Monga,
Ulster's new 10, Beaver, kicked over a World Cup winning penalty kick when he was called up fly fishing. Fourth choice.
I think they're quite like Richie Mo'unga as well.
I think they would see Sopawanga as number two, particularly since Cruden's gone.
Yeah, but how many twos do that go? Cruden, Nick Evans. You know, a lot of them have been...
All the more reason to keep him for one more year.
Hang on. Who have also signed?
Stephen Donald.
Beaver.
Allegedly. I don't think it's been confirmed.
No.
But everyone thinks it's happening. He's playing in Japan. Or has been playing in Japan.
Right.
Stephen Donald, who was whitebait fishing.
Yeah. So I was getting confused with a different fly half. He used to play for the Blues. I can't remember his name now.
Okay. Piers Gatland.
Yeah,
Piers Gatland.
Maybe.
Carlos Spencer.
Piers Francis. Who's Gatland? Bryn Gatland. Piers Francis. Bryn Gatland. So Sopwanga's going to Wasps, would suggest, as we mentioned before, Sippers might be on his way out.
There are some rumours about him going to Sale.
Who? Sapwanga?
Sippers.
Cool. I think that's... Yeah.
I tell you what, it would not surprise me if they made a move. If they will at least inquire.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Sale make a move. It would surprise... Sippers now has... He just wants to go to France.
Does he want to go to France, though? Because, like, I'm just making the argument here. There are some good boys at Sale that he can have a beer or two with. You
just
know?
Just text Sippers if you want him to know that.
Yeah, Marland.
Yeah, Denny.
Denny likes a beer.
You can get.
Have you seen the tabloid stories around Denny?
No. I don't know if I can talk about Sale in this manner. I've just been allowed back in the building.
So I know he was engaged to that MTV bird who
I'm recusing myself from this conversation. You two talk among yourselves.
Okay.
Because I'm a good media trained boy.
You're being bona fide media.
Okay, no, all you need to do is report it in the right way. So
fire away.
So yes, we thought he was engaged to this woman who's now in the Celebrity Big Brother house.
Yeah.
She says they got married in Vegas and she's now filed for divorce.
Oh, Denny.
And apparently they've been married for a year and a half, according to her.
Really?
So she says.
Well, he's picked a good one, I guess.
No comment. I'm staying out of this. I'm quickly realised it's beyond my sphere of competence.
You're going to disappoint Ryan Kiesel on Twitter, who said, "The most interesting sales story in ages. I bet will be a long topic of conversation on today's rugby podcast." CBB's Jess Impiazzi married England's Denny Solomona in the reputable rag that is the Daily Mail, of all places.
Reputable rag that is the Daily Mail?
Yeah, I know.
Unreputable?
Yeah, well, did you not sense a hint of sarcasm?
No, we need punctuation for this.
She says, and I quote, "Before I could blink, we were down the aisle." She reveals she secretly married rugby star Derry Solomona in Las Vegas, but the pair are divorcing 9 months later.
She sounds like an absolute delight.
Because she said she's waiting for divorce papers to put an end to their marriage. She says they got back from Vegas, where they got married on a whim, and then he was too quickly back to old habits in England and started going out partying again.
You married him in Vegas! Oh dear, right, so let's talk about some games.
Enough of that, yeah.
Anyway, it sort of backs up your point about there's some good boys to go out with.
count me in.
Back to the rugby, right. Anyone want to do any of the Challenge Cup?
No.
Let's just check if I quite like the Thursday night game, if there is one.
Just be better.
There isn't a Thursday night game.
No, I'm joking.
So we're not even going to discuss that.
Nah.
Cool.
Although there is a Friday night game.
Oh, yeah?
And there's no... Champions Cup, so on Friday night.
Because they've got to play them at the same time.
I don't think they are playing at the same time.
No, they have to play the pool games at the same time.
Okay.
Friday night, actually. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to let JB have one more little moment with Sale before we depart, because again, they just need to be better and get in the top six, and then we can talk about more at this time of year.
Yeah.
But Sam Moore at Bolter for the Wales squad. Cubby boy won't get into the back row, but Sam Moore to possibly sneak into a Wales squad. Number eight. They're short of number eights. King's out. Falatau's out.
Moriarty just back.
I didn't even realise he was Welsh.
Yeah. I imagine there's a bit of a to and fro in Wales. I think would want to keep him. I think his dad and uncle were Welsh internationals.
I think he would struggle. I think there'd be pressure from the club. I'm not saying they would do that, but EQP is a really important thing. He was educated in Sedba. So he strikes me as fairly English. He's bloody massive, though. I mean, if you meet the guy, he's absolutely enormous.
His dad and uncle both played for Wales.
He's played England under 18s as well.
Yeah, in fact, I think he was captain. I'm going to say that it's far too early to be talking about Sam Moore as an international for anyone yet. And if they cap him, it'll be for the... I mean, he isn't starting material. No way.
No, 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 I know, but they are short of number eights, and he is a highly rated prospect. I'm just saying, because we got the Welsh squad being announced on Tuesday. I'm not suggesting you'll get in this one, but maybe for a summer tour, you'll get a place on the plane.
Do you know what I could see? Yeah, I can see some kind of, yeah, let's get him capped and then bin him off for a while. I think he'd be wise not to respond to the overtures of any national team who might not have his best interests at heart. Carry on playing, get established, and then see.
Do you say that? Do you give that same message to Gary Graham then?
Yeah, basically, yeah. When he's 25, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, I think Gary Graham knows what he is at this point.
Well, that should be what it is. When it comes to national recognition, it should be you know what you are. If you're like, it should be like, if you're held at gunpoint and someone says, what nationality are you? What nationality are you? Whatever you say there, that's who you play for. Because Michael Rhodes would say, South African. Sam Moore, at that point, would know whether he's English or Welsh.
Yeah. Well, nationalised at English!
26 grand a game!
Okay, games.
Anyway, games.
Let's see if we get through some games.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to start off.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pool 2. On Saturday, Pool 2. Now, this is the pool featuring Clermont, Ospreys, Saracens, Northampton.
Clermont, yeah, okay.
So, Clermont currently top, Ospreys in second, Saracens in third. Okay. Out of Saracens' hand. So, Clermont host Ospreys.
God, so, they just lost to Northampton.
Do you know, it sounds like it's such a simple task for Clermont just to dispatch them. Clermont have got their own issues, mainly around fly half. Luke McAllister is there now on loan.
And most of a back line just out injured.
Yeah, straightforward one bit. The Ospreys are pretty powerful up front. Ospreys stayed in the Saracens game mostly through indiscretions from Saracens.
And the scrum.
Yeah, it won't happen again in Clermont.
Clermont will win at home.
Deal with them, yeah.
Yeah. So,
we shall put Clermont on at least.
I've got my live tables here.
Yeah.
So, give me points.
4 points.
4 points to Clermont?
Yeah.
And how many to Ospreys?
Zero.
Saracens hosting Northampton.
5-0.
Got to be 5-0. We all agreed?
Yeah, maybe 4-0, but 5. Let's say 5.
I think Saracens need that, because it's out of Saracens' hands. To give them the best chance, they've got to get that bonus point.
This feels to me, it's going to be a huge Saracens win.
5-0. Whether Northampton get 1 or 0 is irrelevant.
Every time Northampton kind of start to feel a little bit better about themselves, they run into Saracens.
Yeah.
Like every time, like, do you know what? Things aren't so bad. This year, they're not.
2017-18 is going to be a great season. First game.
Wow. Boom.
Oh, we're getting better. We've won a few. We beat Leicester at our place in an East Midlands derby. Oh, yeah, things are going. Oh, Saracens.
Just smack him in the face.
We've got a new coach. We've won 2 on the bounce. Oh, Saracens.
Exactly. Yeah.
So from those predictions, Clermont top the group, Saracens fall into second place with 18 points, which will become clear when we do some more predictions.
Okay, love this. Go on, Phil.
So, pool 3. This is the pool. Leinster top the group, 5 out of 5 wins, then Exeter, Montpellier and Glasgow, who are out of it. So, Glasgow host Exeter.
Glasgow, I think they're going to put in an effort. I think they'll bring some players back to try and show up well at home, but Exeter will win. 4-0.
4-0? The Glasgow again. Glasgow, whether they get 1 or 0 is pretty much irrelevant. I think this could be... So I think Exeter will go for the 5, but they'll have the strongest possible team they can. They'll grind it. I think Exeter will get 5 points out of this.
Agreed.
Which will put them on 19.
Glasgow were nursing a few injuries, and they were ultimately a little bit flaky and underpowered against Leinster.
It's weird having talked about the Pro 4 team being so much better. They're top of their conference and bottom of their European Cup pool. So yeah, so that will be Exeter on 19 points, you think?
Correct. And then Leinster, Montpellier host Leinster.
Now, have Leinster already got a guaranteed home quarter final? They do, don't they?
Yes.
So I'm going to go Montpellier.
That's,
I think Leinster will rotate a load of players.
Now, if Exeter get the 5 points, Montpellier's score is irrelevant, because Exeter go to 19, Montpellier can only possibly get to 18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think Montpellier will win 4 or 5-1, but I think it doesn't actually matter.
Okay.
Then, Pool 5. These are the 5:30 kickoffs on the Saturday.
Okay.
Which is JB's pool, his beloved Bath and Benetton, and the brilliant Scarlets and Toulon.
This would have been the JB Bowl back in the day before.
So, Benetton hosts Bath. Bath, they're not out of it mathematically. They're in basically the same position that Saracens are in.
So, yeah, they're going to win it. They didn't beat them at the Rec with a bonus point, but they will beat them with a bonus point because I didn't believe that Benetton will put their best foot forward.
So, Bath will be on 18 points, which, before we take into account the Scarlets match, puts them in runner-up position.
Yep.
Or back on top. No, runner-up position.
Depend on points difference.
They on the head-to-head with Toulon?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Bath are ahead on the head-to-head with Toulon.
It was 1-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, but then it goes to points difference. Aggregate. Bath's points aggregate was better than Toulon's, I think.
But then Toulon travel to Scarlets. Now, this is...
Oh.
So I think this should be the game of the week.
Yeah.
Because this is the one with most...
Hold it. We'll come back to it then.
No, let's do the music now. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh no, this is so much pressure.
Oh, don't worry. Go to leovegas.com or get the Leo Vegas app for your smartphone. It's the way to enjoy rugby matches even more. Bet responsibly. Over 18s only. The widest range of bets. They love their rugby. We love them. And we recommend them to you.
Just have interest. Why haven't we been doing that since the start? I mean, we get paid the same. And it's like a lot less pressing buttons, isn't it?
It's worth Leo Vegas are worth the effort.
You only press like 2 buttons a week, Jay. You're trying to half that.
Yeah. Well, hey, you're a maths guy. That's a huge, huge decrease in workload.
Increase in productivity.
Correct.
Go and press the buttons on the Leo Vegas app. So our game of the week is Scarlets hosting Toulon.
Yes. And Scarlets fresh off the back of that bonus point victory at the Rec.
Scarlets win by 5.
I think Scarlets are going to win this as well.
Okay, so... what are Toulon? Where are they in the top 14? They're about 6th, aren't they?
They're certainly top half. I think
they're below Toulouse.
Are they below Toulouse?
I believe they are.
Give me 2 seconds and I can tell you.
They're a bit more traditionally French than they have been in past seasons, as in their
French
big,
top 14.
The bigger.
They are in 6th.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, Toulonnais and then Stade Toulousien.
They are in 6th.
Very annoying.
One below Toulouse.
Yeah, so...
equal on points.
I think they are horribly equipped to deal with Scarlets.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
I'm going to say that the Scarlets should theoretically take them to the cleaners. I said by 5. Actually, on my betting slip, I'm going to go 10 to 15 points win.
To Scarlets.
Because if they're going to win, they're going to win big.
I'm calling it. I'm going to say Toulon win 5 points, Scarlets get 2 points.
Toulon 5 points, Scarlets 2.
That's what I'm saying, but I don't. What are you thinking?
I think 4-1 to Scarlets.
Let's go 4-1 then.
Just before we move on, just think about this, right? If Scarlets fire out the traps like they often do, and they score the early points, that's what draws other teams in to this kind of, slugging match. At which point do you not think Toulon are going to tire a lot earlier than they normally would, leading to yet more points for... It's going to be...
Scarlets are going to win.
Yeah, if Scarlets win, they win big, is what I'm saying. So they score first, and that's going to be in the indicator. If they score first...
It's going to be Toulon just trying to keep it tight and maul them off the park.
Yeah, that's the bit. So Toulon won't get dragged into throwing the ball out from wing to wing because they've not got the personnel in the pack to do it.
Yeah.
They're too fat and slow. So they are going to play the most boring. They're going to use Bastereau and Nonu to crash up the middle.
If Bastereau is available. But yeah,
if he's available. If not, they'll just put Fekitoa or someone else doing a similar job. And they're going to use that monstrous pack and just try and rumble it.
Chris Ashton.
Yeah, if they score first, I mean, if they get like I don't know, a cheap penalty, kick it to the corner, drive over, we're going to see a very different game to if Scarlets score first. So give me Scarlets, and I'm going to say they're going to win by...
Are you saying a Scarlets bonus point win?
Yes.
But I just got this funny feeling. 10
to 15 points.
But mind you, no, the difference with Scarlets this year is they've got that experience under their belt. They won Pro 14... Pro 12, they know about winning in those, and the way they laid it all on the line and played in everything on the line game against Bath, they've got that mentality now. All right, fine, I'll go Scarlets, we'll sneak it. I don't think it'll be...
So Scarlets only lost by 1 point in the Stade Mayol.
Let's go 4-1 then, so, as you said, Phil.
Yeah, I'm with 4-1 for Scarlets. So that puts Scarlets top of the group with 21, Toulon 19, Bath out of it on 18.
And that also means...
We've still got a couple of pools to go.
Okay.
So, we've then got pool one, which is Ulster's pool. Ulster currently sit top of the table on 17, La Rochelle in second on 16, Wasps on 12, Harlequins on 7. So we first got what should be fairly routine.
Yeah.
La Rochelle hosting Harlequins. Which I'm saying 5-0. Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot riding on this, so yeah?
actually, there's nothing riding on it, so Quinn's win.
Quinn's bonus point.
Quinn 5 points to nil. Now, La Rochelle are going to pick up 5 there.
Yeah.
Now, if... So, then Ulster travel to Wasps. If I'm feeling well enough, I might be going to this game.
What? With who? When? How?
I'm at a wedding in Peterborough the day before.
Uh-huh.
I'll be driving.
That's on your way back.
Back past Coventry.
This is an outrage.
Right now, I don't particularly feel well enough, but I'll see how I feel on the Sunday.
Mm.
Well enough for a wedding, not well enough for a rugby game.
It's one of Claire's friends' weddings. So
do you know what?
Might be sleeping half of it off.
Yeah, you don't look like you're right. Why don't you let Claire go to the wedding? You watch it with me here.
Ah, that's a good idea.
There you go.
Watch all of the games.
Exactly.
Right. Wasps, who have... They've effectively blown their chances by their loss to Quins. It is completely out of their control, and they need some miracle results to have a chance of going through. So Wasps, they need like 5 results to go their way in order for them to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So
they do have 2 weeks of Anglo-Welsh Cup to, so I think they'll still give it a crack.
Yeah.
They're not going to pick a...
No, they won't.
Well, they haven't got enough players to pick a week.
Yeah, true. But they're so mentally fragile, as are Ulster. So I can't... I need you guys to pick this. Who's going to win? And by how many points?
Oh, goodness me.
Well, Wasps, it just depends. I mean,
who's the 10? Is Stephen Donald going to be straight in at 10 next week?
So, Johnny McPhillips came off the bench, and Peter Nelson has been playing for the A-team and a bit out round and about.
Wasps at home. Wasps are going to win it.
Why can't Lele Afano just stay for
4
one more
to
week?
1. 4 to 1.
One more week, Christian.
Mm. 4 to 1.
I think you might be right.
4-0. I think Wasps will win it.
Because nothing matters, so Wasps can win.
Let's give Ulster a losing bonus point.
4-1. Ulster aren't going to score 4 tries. They might get within 7.
So we'll just play an extra centre.
So Ulster end on. Just play an extra centre.
Yeah.
We've got enough of them. Pierre Tower was going first receiver a lot at the weekend.
There you go. I was with a couple of Ulster lads this weekend who I play rugby with. They're proper, born and bred. Not
pride.
Proper proud Ulsterman. Not like you, Phil. Not like Johnny.
What are you trying to say?
And they kept on saying to me, and I don't recognise this description, but I'd like to know if you do. They kept on saying that Pierre Tau isn't the player he was. He's not.
That's because he's going to Bristol.
It may be. That's exactly what I said. His passing isn't quite up to where it was, and he's lost a step.
They're just saying that. Come on.
So, I'm not sure Piatow is the player he was. Let me rephrase that. When he wants to be, he's still the player he wants. I would question his motivation all of the time.
Is that right?
Yeah. If anyone watched the Ulster-Leinster game the other week, his commitment and therefore his defence was inadequate, to say the least, for someone being paid so much money.
If it's 4 points and we give Ulster a losing bonus point,
yes.
What? Where does that leave the pool?
Puts La Rochelle top with 21, Ulster on 18, which should be the same as Saracens. And we've got one pool to go, which is Racing and Munster's pool.
Okay.
So, pool four. First of all, Leicester host Racing 92.
Racing win.
Which is going to be...
Let's say 4-0.
I'd say 5. Maybe not.
I genuinely think...
Yeah, 5-0.
I genuinely think if they get battered, like they did today, that is Matt O'Connell's last game, because the embarrassment...
Did you see the team, though? It was they picked the second-choice team.
Yeah. He will pick a stronger team.
Don't get me wrong, Tim. I definitely see that. But a club of that stature, it's embarrassing for them.
But clearly, what they're doing, they've got a month, they're focusing on that Premiership. They're not going to get rid of a coach mid-season again.
Again. Not for the third time in just over a year.
Okay, then.
Even if they think that's the right thing to do, and I don't think it is.
I'm going to put it on the board.
They won't do it.
Put it on the board.
All right, we'll write it on the board. Leicester to sack Matt O'Connor.
Mid-season.
Yeah.
So are we all saying Racing 4, Leicester 0?
Yeah. Racing 4. Racing 5, mate.
I'm going to write it in green.
Yeah. It does depend what team.
Feel free just to correct any spelling on there.
Okay, Racing 5. I think it's very possible it could be 5-0 or 5-1. Then, Munster host Cast. Cast got a very good win, but they are out of it. And Munster at home. And Munster looked really good against Racing. So I think this is going to be a 5-0 to Munster.
I think you're probably right, mate.
Which means...
Hang on. Go on, it means what?
So, the four group toppers, or pool toppers, the five pool toppers are...
But do it in order, because the top four get a home quarterfinal.
Yeah. So, the first team to get a home quarterfinal will be Leinster.
Yeah.
Followed by Clermont. Followed by...
So, these are the pool winners, yeah?
Pool winners. Followed by, we then have three teams, Scarlets, Munster and La Rochelle, all with 21 points.
So
it'll go down to points difference.
Wait.
And surely on points difference, oh no, because differential, Scarlets have... Oh.
Anyway. Yeah, we won't know. So
we won't know
right
anyway.
Right now, Scarlets are plus 36, Munster are plus 35, La Rochelle are plus 26.
Wow, so it could go anyway.
But
so
La Rochelle play Quins at home, so it could be... Anyway.
In the lap of the gods, that one.
Then...
That's assuming our predictions are correct.
Yeah.
That's a very big assumption.
Then we have, as best runners-up, we have Racing on 20 points. We have Exeter Chiefs on 19 points.
Yep.
And we have Toulon sneaking it in last place again. On 19 points, which means no Saracens, which means no Ulster.
So our prediction for the quarterfinals is Leinster host Toulon.
Yeah.
Clermont host Exeter Chiefs.
Yeah.
Play them again. And Munster, was it? Or Racing? No.
It'll be probably, let's say, Scarlets or La Rochelle host Racing.
Scarlets or La Rochelle host Racing. And then Scarlets or La Rochelle host Munster.
Woo! You heard it here first.
One of each team.
Yep.
Two Irish sides. One
Welsh.
One Welsh. Three French.
Three French. Clermont.
Nice. I like the balance of that.
It feels like a proper European Cup, doesn't it?
Well, apart from the two times holders, the reigning champs, we are seeing they're out.
Funny old game.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, I'm mentally exhausted after that.
That was a mammoth session, a marathon session.
I was just so exhausted from a weekend of watching, working at, and now talking about rugby. There's only one thing to do, it's to go and sit and watch a load of American football all night long.
Yeah. What's the first game? 9 o'clock, is it? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a hotel room in Swansea last night and couldn't sleep, so watched, because I didn't have Sky or anything on my phone, I watched someone periscoping their TV of the New England Patriots match.
So do you see the ruling? Someone got fined £85,000 for periscoping.
Oh, that was Anthony the boxing. Anthony Joshua.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't. I thought about periscoping, didn't do it at all. I thought better of it.
Yeah, rightly so, Tim.
That's that then.
Excellent, boys. Well done. Only
good pod, a marathon pod.
Yeah.
2 hours. Only 2 hours.
What?
Well, I mean, if we chat here for another 90 seconds, it'll be 2 hours.
We should split it into two halves and
and double our downloads, more money.
We split it into two halves just to make it a manageable chunks for people.
Yeah, bite-sized.
People don't, because that would too much. Because the problem is, when you start downloading in the morning a 2 hour podcast, you know, you might then walk out the house and you're using your 4G rather than your Wi-Fi.
Right.
It would just be the nice thing to do to split it into two.
Exactly. Well, come for the rugby, stay for the convivial chat. That's what I like to say.
Come for the rugby, stay for complete Toffee's brilliant photoshops.
Have you seen
his mock-up of
I don't want
Ollie Woodburn?
Oh,
it's amazing.
Oh, bravo. I'm not on the Egg Chasers Twitter at the moment, so I can't spell the password. So anyway, that's enough of this. How does he do it so quick?
I don't know.
Who are you, complete Toffee?
That is brilliant.
He's obviously watching the Facebook Live.
Oh man, that's so good.
Very, very good. I love that.
That will be the picture on a two-part podcast that you're listening to the very end of right now. Thank you very much for listening. You know where we are. You know what we're doing. You're going to come and join us on the Tier 2 tour. Enjoy the rugby and we'll be back next week. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.